This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the whole deck with galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's Fielder? He's gone to the dogs.
Good morning from the Gone to the Dogs podcast world headquarters on the Gulf of America in sunny Florida. This is your host, Steve Fielder, coming at you this morning, full of hope and full of anticipation of things to come. That theme, I'm calling it our White River theme because it's being played by Levon Helm of Elaine, Arkansas. Those of you who go to the White River every year know exactly where Elaine is. And so anyway, I'm playing that for your benefit this morning. We're going to have my good buddy Mark Miller join us here just in a second. And he's out on the highways and the byways in North Carolina today, and he's going to join me on the podcast. We'll tell you real quickly that I'm going to be heading the Monday that this podcast airs. I will be in the air on the way to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and will be joining or be picked up at the airport by my good friend Randy Smith. I am not a bit bashful about proclaiming Randy as the top breeder of Tree and Walker Coonhounds in the country today. And I'll be up with Randy for a week. And, of course, we'll get a lot of good material while I'm up there. But so I'm going to pause this thing right here for a minute and hopefully we'll get Mark Miller on the program with us.
Yeah,
what's up?
I'm just riding.
Riding in the state of North Carolina vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So you're on official business today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You got it on the speakerphone?
No.
Okay. I'm getting a little bit of feedback there with you this morning. Folks, this is Mark Miller from Taylorsville, North Carolina, joining us on the podcast this morning. Yeah, I managed to lasso him and get him on the air here. And I'm getting feedback myself, and it could be due to me having the phone too close to the recorder. I don't know. But anyway, we'll see if we can make this work. What you been up to, bud?
I'm just working and hunting.
Working and hunting. Took a little side trip down to Georgia last weekend, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Just a little vacation time away from all of it.
Went down where? You went to Helen, Georgia?
Yeah, Helen, Georgia to the Oktoberfest.
Yeah, I've never been there. Helen's on our bucket list. I had a brother-in-law one time. They enjoyed going there. And that whole North Georgia scene, I think people talk about, you know, going to Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge and all that, but I think they're kind of missing out there a little bit, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful country right off the National Forest. It actually looks like really good bear country to me. That's what I was checking out.
Yeah. Well, you get over there and do a little bit of bear hunting every once in a while with your friend Brad Hyatt there, don't you?
Oh, yeah. We planning one Friday.
Uh-oh. It's on now, huh? Is the harvest season in yet in North Carolina?
Yeah, it's been in 2 weeks now.
Okay. Well, that's cool. That's cool. And the coon season's been in a couple of days.
Yeah, be the third day today.
Third day of night. We haven't heard from our buddy Cody Fox. I think he went last night. You told me you were going to take a little sabbatical there. And it's been dry, hasn't it?
It's awful dry up here. It was awful dry in Georgia, I noticed. Eastern part of the state's real dry. I went to a event out that way, and they barely had enough water for them to swim in.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it's been pretty dry down here, too, in the swamps, which that's, I guess, a fairly good thing, but it you got to be careful when you get around when the water's low. That's where all those gators and stuff congregate, you know, when it's pretty dry. Of course, they're everywhere when it's wet, but yeah. Well, it's hunting season's a great time of year, man. I look forward to it every year.
Oh, yeah.
I hope this recording that we're doing is going to be suitable for airing. You sound great. I'm not getting any feedback from you, but my voice is feeding back into my headphones, so I don't know what that's all about. But anyway, we'll just roll with it. Anyway, but well, how's our dogs been doing?
Doing good. All the pups are lining up good. I really like the Stitch dog. I've seen him a couple times in action. I'll John Saker's dog, the Jazzy dog that the Fever's got is looking good. I really like Jason Wood's dog, the Rip dog. I like the way he handles and works. And he's been putting up some water race wins here lately. Then, of course, we know we got Ghost, and he's falling right in line after his daddy. Putting the wins up, with us.
Well, that's the name of the game for me. You know, it was kind of interesting to me there that, of course, when you got Fever, I don't know. Have we totally converted you? You used to be a dyed-in-the-wool walker man. Have we converted you to the plot breed?
I'm enjoying it right now. I've got two of my walker dogs farmed out, just people pleasure hunting them, basically, so they don't get stale. And I still got one. He'll be 15 in a couple months at the house. But I just got one at the house right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I like a walker dog. I think everybody knows that I do. And I've had a handful of them over the years. And, of course, I caught, you know what, from my plot buddies around the country for hunting a walker. And my dad, he knew that I was hunting a walker female when I was in Michigan. And I don't know. He never did say anything to me about it. He liked a good dog, the same as I did. But, yeah, I like a walker dog. Nothing at all wrong with them. They're the America's choice and the winningest breed by far, you know. But these plot dogs have a way of kind of getting next to you, especially if you get a hold of one that wants to do right, you know. And I think the stars lined up for us when we got that Fever pup in your hands. Thanks to Bill Scheniger and raising that litter. And, wow, you just kind of went right on with him.
Well, my buddies around me that kind of always wonder why I hung. I'm a plot dog, but now that they've seen Fever go, they don't ask no more.
Yeah. I tell you what, I fight the temptation all the time. I honestly have a true confession. I don't know. You know, we're breeding a few females to him, and we've got good females, and I think that's what every breeder should strive for, is to get good females to your stud dog. But, man, these guys are missing the boat. A lot of them, because they ought to be lining up and taking a number from what I've seen out of these puppies. And here again, I'm not trying to promote the dog on here. I'm just telling facts and talking dogs. That's all we're doing. But you know, we bred him there right at first. We had three females all within a month. And every dog on one of those litters have produced some good pups, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. We didn't mention Jerry Price, but he's got one he's been in the hunts with. He ain't won a cast yet, but he's coming in on the plus side of his card. Been one and won some show wins with Bo. He's got two of them. Been doing real good with his off his Xena female. Not Xena, but
Izzy
female.
Yeah, I think I saw that he sold her.
Yeah, I think she just had pups off the bullet dog.
Okay, that's another plot stud dog out there. I don't know much about the dog or anything, but I her pups out of fever are doing really good. I know the Kievers over there, you mentioned them from South Carolina, and their female Jazzy, they really like her.
Well, the Rib Dog's out of Easy also.
Yeah.
He
is a beautiful hound, and I think he, of course, John Sapier's pup Stitch there, he's a good looking dog too. But I tell you, old Rip there, he may be going to the head of the class as far as the looks department, man. He's a good looking sucker.
Good looking sucker. Got a big old square head on him too. He's a pretty thing.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody likes a nice head on a dog, and I guess that's what we look at first. And the old timers always talked about them having a flat head, tree head, they called it. Old timers said you could put a rubber ball on top of their head and it wouldn't roll off, But so we've been blessed. I mean, that's the enjoyment really of having a dog like Fever and get to breed him some and see what he'll produce. Because you never know. You never know what a dog's going to throw. I think if we could predict that, we'd be in the dog business right. But, I don't know. Do you see any... Or would you be willing, I didn't prepare you for any of these questions, would you be willing to kind of comment on the differences you see in walker dogs and plot dogs, or is there any difference?
Oh, that's a tough question.
Well, I stumped the expert here, folks. It is a tough question.
As far as game dogs, on bear, was the switch to bear, I haven't seen a walker dog yet that could pick up a track a day old and grub it around, and then all of a sudden a bear hop up out of the bushes. You know what I mean? Like, just put them out on the ground on an old track, and they just get to working. And an hour later, they jumped a bear up and got one out of the laurel thicket. I haven't seen a walker dog being able to do that yet.
Well, in all fairness, most of the walker dogs are hunted on coon. And
I know they're out there. I haven't seen it. Been with any, but that's what got me to go to the plot dog when I seen that happen one day, and I was like, I ain't never seen a dog pick a track up that old and produce a bear.
Well, everybody that bear hunts, I think, would agree with you that a cold trailer is an important dog to have in your pack, because some days those baits, if you're allowed to bait, are not hit. They're not hot. You don't have a fresh track sighting crossing a road or a trail camera pick or whatever to run. You've got to, I talked to Gary Martin, and he starts his plot puppies in a rabbit pen and teaches them to trail at a real young age. And, I've had beagles, and, a rabbit's not an easy thing to trail. And to have these pups, come along and show that their tracking ability and their noses and stuff. And he's got a couple Fever pups down there that he's starting this year, and he's really liking them. I mean, he's got a couple of others there that he got, I think, over in East Tennessee there that he's liking a lot, too, that are not Fever bred or Lazarus bred dogs. But anyway, You got to have a coal trailer on some days or you don't get a bear. And Gary Martin said, you know, to me, he said, you got to be able to find a bear in order to be able to run him and jump him and harvest him, you know. So I always, hunting with my dad over the years, we always had some good coal trailers. And that was always what a plot dog was to me. A dog, yeah, there are dogs that run to catch. And I don't know, over the years, I wondered about the endurance, you know, maybe of a plot dog over the long haul. A walker dog's got a lot of endurance as far as running, you know, and running for hours and all that. They got that from their foxhound roots. But, you know, we had some back in the day that would just absolutely not quit, and we didn't have tracking collars, and they'd end up laying up in the mountains sometimes for 2 or 3 weeks before they came off to a house somewhere, and their stool would be full of acorn holes and and all. But, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I talk. Go ahead.
As far as the walker dog, I've seen them start. Seem like easier starting on coon than a plot. You never know what you're going to get, too. Beaver is different than most dogs. He's just, he was just a born natural. And a dog, I mean, he ain't a great big dog. We'll just clarify, he's 55 to 60 pound hound, but that is the fastest 55 to 60 pound hound I've ever seen as far as running. I've had some big 100 pound, 90 pound walker dogs. I don't think they could run as fast as him, being that size, open field, however you want to race him. He is fast for his size.
Well, yeah, if I can give an observation here that I've seen over the years, and, you know, I've always tried to kind of look at things and figure out how what makes things work and all. The dogs that kind of are a little bit long in the back and loin, like Fever is, he's not a real short coupled dog. You know, we used to always talk about, oh, that's a nice short coupled up on legs, you know, yada, yada. Look at a thoroughbred racehorse. You know, he's long in his, you know, back and his hindquarters and so forth, you know. I think that answers the question about speed quite a bit. I know the pup that we have there, you, me, and Cody have him together. We call him Ghost. Now, he's shorter coupled than Fever is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, he is fairly fast.
Yeah, but in the field trials and the long ones, Fever still, he outruns him, and that might be, he's got a lot of heart, but I just ain't as fast as him for some reason.
Yeah, well, I think it leads to two things. You mentioned one, the heart of a hound. They got to have that desire. And that, you know, but I believe that the makeup of that dog. And, you know, when he was a puppy and Bill Scheniger first sent me the pictures of him, and he commented, he said, well, I think he might be a little short-legged, but, man, he really isn't. He's got good legs. But I think it's that length of the back and the loins. And of course, all the power comes from the hindquarters on a dog. Anyway, they steer with the front end, and the power comes from the rear end, and the desire, of course, comes from the chest cavity and the lungs and all that. But, yeah, and again, you know, I just want to use this dog to illustrate some things that hound people may not be thinking about. And it's not, again, it's not just brag on this dog. It's just to use him as an example of what, you know, it takes sometimes to really be a top athlete and a competitor, you know. His competition level's way up there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's up there. He's way up there. He's got a colder nose than most. The only thing about him, people ask, he will not run a bear. That's his downfall.
But you know the way these pups act, I'm betting they're going to run a bear. Well, in fact, I know some of them that have already been started on bear, and they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, the Lucas, I'm sure he's got a couple on bear.
Lucas Clemens down on the coast of North Carolina, yeah.
First female that bred to him, he told me the other day he had, they put two on bear for the first time that were training them to coon hunt, but they switched them to bear, and they run with them. So,
well, your comment about fever and bears gets back to what I've always believed, is that you start a dog on what you want him to run. And especially these plot dogs, you kind of imprint them, you know, program them, I call it, on the game that you want to hunt from a very young age. And that's pretty much what they're going to stick with. I had that, you know, two of the best producing, our best bear dog producing dogs that I ever had were a pair of half brothers, Roper and Wrangler, and neither one of them were ever run on a bear. And I don't know whether they would run one or not. I'd say they were hunted in enough country where there were bear around that they, you know, they just didn't care anything about them. They were coon imprinted. They, from the time they were puppies, you know, I worked them on coon. And
that's where I trained Fever. They ain't no bears, and he just hunted where they were just coons, and he never had to cross someone. But I took him, people's called me, and they're like, hey, I got a bunch of coons on a bear bait. And I said, why don't you come run and bust them up? I'd be like, all right. And they'll tell me they're over there. Go over there, cut him loose. He went about 100 yards in the woods. Right back and stood behind him. Like, you must have had a big old coon in there, like a 300-pound one, because he would not go back in there. I had walked him in there to put him on the creek, and he like walked behind me, staring and looking at me. I'm like, okay, we ain't gonna coon hunt here because there's a bear laying here somewhere. He wouldn't have nothing to do with him.
Yeah, the old bear pen fancy female, Weems Butch and Jill bred female, she's in the Hall of Fame. She wouldn't run a hog. Tried that in Tennessee with her. You know, she was up in age already, but she run the fire out of a bear, though, and a coon. She never fooled with coons in the daytime when you were bear hunting. But I'd sure treat a bunch with her. The first year that I started her, I was living in Ohio, and I think we caught 90 coons that fall, or at least sold that many. And, you know, she was started on coon, but as soon as I sent her down to my dad, the first bear track she ever smelled, she ran it. And, of course, she was bred heavily, you know, for bear hunting. But, well, it's interesting. It's interesting. Well, when you get a good dog like Fever, it gives you a lot of opportunities to see different things, you know. And as I was going to say earlier, that first group of females that we bred were bred there within about a month. And it was, you know, and all of those, each of those litters has produced some nice pups so far. So that's really encouraging to me.
Yeah, we got the Aaron Kathy up in West Virginia.
Yeah. Aaron Calfee, I believe, is his name. Yeah.
He's got three that would be straight bear dogs, and all his buddies got one, so they got four. And they'll all be on bear this year.
Yeah. Well, there's several of the fever pups that are going to be bear hunting. I mentioned Gary Martin there on the coast. Well, he's not right on the coast. I think he lives fairly close to Rocky Mount. He has what he calls his panther swamp plots. And Gary's a hard hunter. I've known Gary for a long time. And you got Lucas Clemens there. And Lucas is a coon hunter, but also bear hunts. And I believe it's his cousins and so forth, friends there. You know, they're running some of their fever pups on bear. And, we're going to get old Brad Hyatt in a fever pup here one of these days. Brad's got some of them souped up bear dogs. So if we get a fever pup that can run with Brad's dogs, we'll know we got something. Yeah. Well, that's all good stuff. And Plot Dog was, I called him the utility dog of the Southern Appalachians. They were used for just about everything down through the years, herding sheep and guarding the house and you know, walking the kids to school, whatever. But, you know, they've always been tree dogs and gamey dogs. And that's, you know, my dad having been raised around cur dogs, I think the plot breed just kind of naturally fit, you know, him when he first got them. He loved them. From the first one he got, he never wanted anything else but a plot and all. He hunted for more than 50 years there in West Virginia, you know, but. Well, okay, we've been making a few plans getting ready for Grand American. Now, that's always the first weekend in January. I think this year it's going to be real early. Looks to me like from the calendar, it's always the first full weekend after New Year's. Well, actually, New Year's is on a Thursday, January the 1st. So I guess the main dates of Grand American this year will be the 2nd and 3rd. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, they have their we always go to that Chamber of Commerce banquet thing on Thursday night, and some telemarketer's trying to call me. I don't want to buy anything. I got dogs. I don't have any money. But anyway, Grand American's always a big time. I think we're going to try to go the Airbnb route this year and all. What do you got planned for Grand American this year?
We're going to bring Ghost with us and Fever, maybe Rip, don't know yet on him, but we'll have Ghost with Fever in the stud barn, just tied out with him, have full banner, you know, everything set up for everybody to come visit with him, see Ghost with him.
Yeah.
And we're going to try to sign both dogs up to hunt both nights.
Well, that's a plan. I sure wish I was young enough and full of it enough, but we got a good partner there, Cody Fox. He's been doing good with Ghost, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Cody's come along at the right time. I appreciate his help. He will take off on his own sometimes and take Ghost, which that help eases up stuff too. He's really been a big help. I wish I had two more just like him.
Yeah, you know, good partners, good hunting buddies and all are not easy to find in this game at all. And, you know, I've said this many times. I've been more than blessed when you and I got together. And then Cody is your neighbor, basically, there, isn't he?
He's about a mile from the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's pushing ghost, taking him places, putting him, taking him to town, basically. We hope to get him all titled out in the next year or two.
Yeah, well, he, I guess you can call it beginner's luck, but I'll have to admit to you, when you started winning so early on with fever, I was just shaking my head. I said, what's going on here? You know, of course, fever was a night champion by the time, what, he's 14 months old, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but old Ghost, now he's already won a couple casts. And
maybe this weekend get him out. We got four coming up close to the house.
Yeah.
He might be hot night champion at Great American. That's the plan anyway, hopefully.
Yeah, well, that'd be awesome. Well, you know, here again, I try to find a lesson, a nugget in everything, all these conversations that I have. And I was talking to a friend yesterday, and he's from out at White River, and he said, well, you haven't been doing podcasts in a while, have you? And I said, well, yeah, one every week. And he said, well, I haven't been able to find them, and I don't know why. Maybe the platform that he's using or the podcast app that he's using is not carrying it. I don't know, but I've done 200. This is the 206th podcast that I've done since I've been with W. And, you know, each one of these we try to teach something or to learn something from the guest or whatever, and make it not just a conversation, but a learning experience. And I think, you know, that we learn things by talking about these young dogs here, and that's the whole object of that, is, you know, if the guys would get out there with their young pups and, you know, get them started to the level that they'll run and tree, whether they use it with drags or turn loose coons, as I call them, or whatever the method, and then go ahead and take them to town. You know, sometimes these pups will really fool you at an early age. You don't have to wait till he's long in the tooth, you know, and gray around the eyes and muzzle to take him to a night hunt. And I just wonder sometimes, especially in the plot breed, a lot of the guys just don't really take their dogs to town.
I believe that too. And hopefully, I believe it's woke up the plot breed fever has a little bit, getting people to bring them out. And because they can compete, they just, you got the right one, they'll do everything them other ones will do. As far as field trials and water races, I think they're a little better at, I don't know why, but they can, them dogs can swim.
Yeah, plot dogs have always been good in the water. It's rare to find one that's not a good swimmer. Some people would say, yeah, they got a lot of Labrador or something, you know. But no, even from the time I was a kid, you know, and bear hunting, and in West Virginia's got some pretty swift, cold rivers when you're hunting in December, and those dogs don't think twice about hitting that cold, swift water. You know, sometimes it'll wash them down the creek 100 yards or so before they come out on the other side, but they take to that water readily, you know. And they got a good coat of hair on them. They're not real slick haired like some breeds.
Yeah. As far as my somebody wants to work with the water races and play them games too. Take them young to a pond. You don't have to have a coon. Just try to teach them to fetch. It don't hurt them to teach them something different besides this coon. You can teach them to play fetch with you. Take just a float toy. That's all Fever does. I throw it in the water. He swims out there and gets it and comes back and drops it and looks at me. And starts, he loves it. So that's where he gets his swimming exercise at.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's a great point, Mark, that we miss some of those opportunities to have a good companion dog, a dog that's fun. I always enjoyed that with the old hoss dog that I had, Fever's granddaddy. He loved to swim like that, too, and retrieve a stick or a dummy or whatever you would throw, and always loved it, you know. And I did that with a long leash or check cord with him in the yard, you know, and he'd run and get things and bring it back and all. And it's just fun, you know, to interact with your dogs. I know there's a lot of guys out there it's all about coon hunting, you know. Put them in the pen, leave them in the pen, you know, take them to the woods, gather them up, bring them back home, feed them, forget about them till the next day. But I always enjoy getting a little more than that out of my dogs, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's the way I look at them as half pet, too.
Yeah. And you certainly don't affect their desire to hunt. Have you seen any of that from keeping a dog around and paying attention to him at home?
I just think it helps them handle better.
Yeah, yeah.
I take Fever to the woods. He's in the dog box. We get out of the dog box. He ain't on a dog leash. I dump him out of the box. He goes, if he trees, or even if he don't tree, if he comes back around and I'm ready to go, all I gotta do is talk to him, speak to him. He'll come in, get close to me, and I'll just start walking to the truck, and he'll stay within a 20-foot circle. I mean, he'll be hunting his way out, but he'll stay right in that area with me. Now, see, he picks up on something we missed. Or something come down since we've been in the mountain or something. And I have three coons at the truck, coming back to the truck, just smoke one. And it would just been one coming up the creek while we was gone. And a tree one right at the truck. And then I get the truck, call him, he come truck, I put him in it. I usually never put him on a dog leash.
Yeah, having one to handle like that is just worth so much. My buddy Heath Hyatt always handled his dogs like that, even back years ago when he and I were coon hunting a lot together. Now, you haven't got Ghost to that point yet, though, have you?
No, he's a little high strung still. But you had him trained for the house. He's a handful in the woods, but Cody will still, he'll bring him in his house. And he said he'll just lay right down.
Oh, yeah. He seems to know that transition. You know, that was the thing about that pup. First time. Yeah.
Man, you get all that dog's dog leash, you've got a handful.
Feel the power, huh?
You can feel the power. One of the strongest dogs I've had a dog leash on. I ain't never had one pull. Almost dragged me at 250 on the ground. Trying to pull him off soon.
Yeah. Well, we had one time that was out of Bronco and Brandy. The Cascade and Weems bear pen bred dog. And we called him Lefty, and my dad got to the point that he just couldn't handle him off of a bear tree in the mountains. You know, they did a lot of training and didn't kill the bears very often. And on a steep hillside. My dad just couldn't handle him. He was just too much dog. And I can remember when I was starting him on coon in Michigan, you know, he was like that. Man, he was hard to get away from a cage or anything like that, you know. Just so much desire. You don't want to get rid of that, but you want a dog that'll handle too. But the thing about Ghost was, you know, last year I took him to White River. He wasn't quite 5 months old. I just put him in the front seat of the truck. And I went up to Nubbin Moore's and overnighted, and Nubbin said, "You want to put that dog in the kennel back there?" And I said, "No, I just leave him in the truck." He said, "He'll eat the seats out of that truck." And I said, "No, he won't." And next morning went out there, he's just laying curled up there in the seat. And when I rode anywhere I took him, I just let him ride in the front seat. You know, he just seemed to know to make that transition. And you talk about Cody there letting him in the house. He told me he had a recliner for him, that he liked the recliner. That's not for everybody, but if you can, you can sure get a lot more enjoyment out of a dog if you kind of make a companion and a buddy out of him, you know. There's just something down deep in my heart that makes me want to have a dog. It's a little dachshund we've got, Louie. He'll come right up and sit by me in my chair, and I have to squeeze over a little bit to make room for him. And he'll lay right there while I'm watching a ball game or TV show or something, you know. And I just like to have a dog around. I guess that's why I'm gone to the dogs, you know. Yeah, well, okay, Grand American, great big time. Always enjoy it down there, big crowds, dog barns, people coming by to talk and all, talk dogs and all. It's a great opportunity to see some of the dogs that you've read about, heard about. And big crowd. And Autumn Oaks is great as far as vendors and all. And Grand American's about the same. They have a tremendous number of vendors available. And just a tradition that, it, to me, it just doesn't seem like a new year if you don't start it off at the Grand American.
Right.
Yeah. Well, National Plothound Association has a booth at the Grand American each year. They're there in that headquarters building where you sign up for the hunt, and they call the cast, I believe, right there at that building. But all the breed associations have a booth or a there. It's more like a table along the wall there as you walk in. But that's a good place to go and pay you up your dues or whatever. UKC usually had a display there. I don't know what, with no more Coonhound Bloodlines, December is going to be the last issue. I don't know what's going to happen there.
I don't either. It's kind of sad. I'd see it go. I'm a prescriber. I always get it. Enjoying who's winning what and reproducers list. I always read through with.
Yeah.
I read all. Check people.
Well, you know, PKC kind of tried that, and then they came back with their pro hound. And admittedly, there's not a whole lot in it, but there are still those lists. I can go in there and I can see who the leaders are, the state leaders and the breed leaders and the pup of the month, or not pup of the month so much, but the, you know, sires and dams and pup races and all those kind of things. And I don't know how they're going to what vehicle they're going to use to keep those kind of things going, because that's really the heart of UKC hunting, I think, is, you know, keeping up with all those competitions.
And, yeah, a lot of people don't get online and look for the hunts. And If you ain't gonna do that now, you ain't gonna know what's what. But then, and there'd be no advertising big hunts because they ain't gonna be in there. So.
Yeah, yeah. I just wonder what they'll do. I think they're hopeful that people will switch over to that American Field, but being published only four times a year, I'm not sure how that's going to work. But I guess they'll just go more and more to the internet unless some enterprising person comes along and says, well, hey, of course, you know, that was the thing with UKC. They're privy to all that information. And I was just looking online here and where they've been posting some of these big winning dogs of the past. I saw Mr. Clean on there. I saw Larry Wilcox's English dog. I saw the different ones. And they've got, of course, access to the stats, how many casts they entered, how many plus points they scored, you know, what their average was and all that stuff. And you got to have a database to have all that information. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe they're just thinking they can build that or do that online, and we'll just have to see how it works. That's for sure. But it's going to be different. I don't know what. I don't imagine Fulcry's having. You know, Fulcry's having some issues too with getting their magazine out. They've had some physical problems. They had some bad forest fires out there this summer, and logistics is a tough thing anyway, because the publishers, the Doobies, you know, they live on the river in the wilderness during the summertime. And, of course, I guess it's easier for them to get the magazines out in the winter. But I don't imagine they're going to be at Grand American, which, you know, to be quite honest, and it gets back to what we're talking about magazines, books don't sell the way they used to. Of course, I know, you know, probably if I had written my book 20 years earlier, I would have sold a whole lot more of them than I have sold, and I've sold a lot. But, you know, I'm not going to be willing to pay the price to rent a booth in the vendor barn at Grand American just to sell a handful of books. It just, it doesn't make monetary sense. So, I don't know, I'll probably be hanging out over at the Fever booth with you.
We'll have you a chair.
I can bring me a comfortable chair, and I'll bring. I like to bring that propane heater. I'll share it with you this year. I said I was last year, but I never did get it over there, did I?
No.
We were hanging too close to it ourselves there, I think, for sure. But well, the one thing for sure, time moves on. You know, and I'll take this opportunity. I just had my 79th birthday this week. And man alive, I started out, I wanted to try to answer every birthday wish I got on Facebook. And I soon gave up on that but I do appreciate them so much. And it's just it's great to be able to hear from somebody that you haven't talked to in a long time, you know. And, so I want to thank everybody that took time to wish me a happy birthday. It really, really did make my day, and I appreciate you. Well, Mark, do you think that what am I trying to say here? What can we do to improve or to promote our breed, which we're involved in plots, and this would apply to any of you guys out there hunting walkers or red bones or black and tans, whatever, to promote our breed and keep it going for the future? It seems like every time we turn around, there's some kind of challenge You know, just like this thing with the magazines. You know, how do you promote a dog? How do you, if you've got something worth promoting, it should be promoted, I believe. And what do we do?
They just need to show up at the hunts, help out if you don't want to enter, show your dogs. Probably vote for the right people.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I know the Plot Association, I'm encouraged by the leadership that we have right now in the National Plot Hound Association. I think they're really trying. And I know that applies to the other breed associations too. But you hear the stories about how the breed days, all breeds, are not as big as they used to be. And you know, Walker days used to just be huge, and it's not anymore. More and more people just stay home, I guess, and as I say, twiddle their thumbs on that phone. And, you know,
that's a pretty big show up.
Well.
One in Greenville, Tennessee.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, the American Plot Association. They're doing a good job in drawing. I think it's mostly the bear hunters, but also, you know, the coonhound events are being attended. And I thank the American Plot Association for awarding the Coon Dog of the Year each year. I know Bill Schindler's Lazarus Dog won it 1 year, and Fever won it, I think, in 23. And I see another of Bill's dogs, his Cowboy Dog, I think, was on the ballot this year. Yeah. And so they are, you know, diversifying, so to speak. Just that association was really founded on the ability at one time to have bear events. You know, at the time, and there was a live bear and all of that. And we know how that all evolved and can't, you know, do that anymore. But they still get a big turnout for their bear events.
Oh, yeah. They have.
And
they it's all day long they're doing the bear events. There's a lot of dogs there. I'll give them that. They draw a crowd.
Oh, yeah, and it's a beautiful location there, you know, where they hold the thing. And I know there was some discussion last year whether it would be back there, but as far as I know, I haven't heard anything to the contrary. Have you, about moving it?
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, me either. But I didn't get to go last year, but I'm definitely going to try to get that on the calendar this year. Travel is not easy as it used to be. As I mentioned, I am going up to Pennsylvania. Of course, I'm going to fly up there, and then I'll drive to the White River. We'll go out there with those boys and mostly just ride around side by side and eat good groceries and have a little sip of Nubbin's homemade wine and visit with my buddies, you know, that's kind of what that's evolved to for me. But anyway, got to get out and do it a little now and then. I don't know as far as have we discussed the possibility of going to Plot Days next year?
Yes, probably since it's going to be in Ohio. I'll probably be there.
Yeah. Well, it makes it a little easier than, you know, going out west to
Illinois.
That's a long ride. I remember back in the day, you know, for us, it was 600 miles from West Virginia. And, anyway, the listeners out there, I know they're probably making their plans, but most people just think about hunting season right now. And
I I think it's rumored, maybe in books now, they are going to have a hunt and an event at Salisbury again.
No, where Southeastern Dreamwalker Days was always held.
Where it was at.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be Southeastern, but it is going to be a hunt held in Salisbury again.
Well, that's good, because that was such a great place to have an event. Everybody enjoyed going there, and the crowds had gotten huge there over the years. Well, you know, PKC just held their national championship last weekend in Aurora, Kentucky, where they were for many, many years for the Super Stakes and the World Hunt and the Youth Championship. And I don't know how it went. I saw the pictures. Looked like they had a pretty good crowd. I followed the winners. Zach Burden ended up winning it with a Walker female named Holly. And my old buddy Keston with the Clyde dog, you know, he sold him to Sean Burden. Well, Clyde got in. He got two cash wins. I think it was, he didn't hunt Thursday night. He hunted Friday night and won back-to-back. But and then he got eliminated by Ryan Croson. I think Ryan ended up in the final three. But the Holly, well, I could be wrong about that now. I better check that. I know, I think there was a couple males. But anyway, it was good to see PKC go back to Aurora, because people remember that. And it would be the same thing with Salisbury, I would think. You know, I started going there about, I think the first Southeastern that I worked with UKC may have been in Lexington, North Carolina. I know they did hold it there. Maybe I just went there to that hunt before I went to UKC. But anyway, I was at Salisbury for many, many, many years, and I always enjoyed going down there. All right, buddy. Well, I think we've solved all the world's problems.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. We like things we like. Okay, let's talk about a minute about things we like. We like Next Level dog food, don't we?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in Next Level right now.
Yeah, yeah. You've been on that how long?
Over a year now.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, Next Level premium pet food. Our good buddy Brandon White.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I have a question about your, what's going on with your feed or something. You can contact Brandon and he'll talk to you about what your dog needs, what problems you're having, and put you on the right feed for you.
Yeah.
He helped me out. I was feeding Next Level. I had a little problem. I went to him, and he said, well, we need to switch it up to this to get more fat and fever, because you're hunting harder. So we switched up. Problem solved.
Yeah. It's kind of like they've got so much science in this stuff anymore. It's kind of like you're a mechanic and you understand these things. You put a little, make that carburetor a little more lean. You know, turn that screw a little bit. You know, they say you don't pay a mechanic for turning a screw, you pay him for knowing how much to turn it. And that's kind of what it is with this dog feed for sure. What kind of lights do we like?
But one, aren't they? Bright eyes.
Well, I'm with you on that. I'm right there with you. Heatseeker Pro's what I've got. And I took it. I took mine to Autumn Oaks, and Wes there, who does a lot of the work for Ray Conrad, he tweaked it, put a new LED in it. It's so bright now, you can't turn it on at midnight and the birds start singing. You know, it's. I'm not going to say like those Kunal Confidential boys do about what. I try to keep it clean here on this podcast, right. But anyway, that's three good boys right there. I laugh at them. I try to listen to every episode.
Oh, yeah. They got one in pocket now. They got put out last night, I think.
Oh, did they? Well, good. I'll have to catch up. But, well, our...
The service, if you got a problem with fried out, that's what sells me. You got a problem, it'll get fixed.
Yeah, well, Ray Conrad is... Yeah. Ray Conrad, I can remember when he came to Grand American. He was just set up out there, probably wasn't much more than a card table out there in the overhang as you come into Vendor Barn, there, the white barn by the restrooms and all. And, man, has he come a long way. And every year he comes out with a new one. And he does an awful lot to support the sport of coon hunting, I think, at these youth events and all. I saw somewhere the other day where he had a light for everybody in the, I don't know, top 20 or whatever it was.
I think everybody in the top 20 got a light.
Yeah, yeah. And those are, you know, coon hunting lights aren't cheap anymore, but nope. Man, they are convenient. And I'm looking forward to using that new souped up LED, as Jerry Clower would say. I got me one of them Super Dyna Whopping Mojo Doula lights now. So I'll be able to singe the hair on them, as my dad would say, when I shine it up there. Really looking forward to going to Pennsylvania next week. And then I got to work a trip in to hunt with you and Cody somewhere here before long. You guys
want to swamp down there in Florida? Maybe we'll come down there.
Well, that's it. Well, we can find a place. Might be on public land, but hey, that's not a problem, really. I mean, wintertime down here can be pretty good, so that'd be good if you could do that. Well, Mark Miller, Taylorsville, North Carolina. It's been good to chat with you, buddy. And are you and Cody going to try to go tonight?
Yeah, we got a new spot we're going to probably try to hit tonight.
I never did hear from... Huh?
So if he didn't hit it last night, we're going to hit it tonight.
I got you. Well, I didn't... I know that he went, or because he texted me that he was loading dogs there about dark. He'd worked till dark, and he says he's going to eat supper, and then he texts me back and said, I'm loading up now. So I know he went, but I didn't hear anything from him. And that's probably not a good sign. He probably didn't have a very good night. I don't know. But
he has called me since we've been on the phone. So.
Oh, okay. If you get the report, let me know then, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Mark, appreciate you coming on with me. We've done an hour and about 5 minutes here. I guess that's enough. And I'll be talking to you for sure. And for those of you who want to go hunting with a plot dog, people like to say, well, I never hunted with a good plot. Well, I think the door, it could be arranged for somebody to come down there and hunt with you if they really want to. Couldn't they, Mark?
Absolutely. I had a guy tell me a while back and said, I've never seen a flock of raccoon. I said, well, just hold on a minute. I was at his places in Tennessee, and we turned loose, and it was like 10 minutes, and we walked to a coon. He's like, well, I said, you've seen one now, haven't you? He said, yeah, I'm he said, that's a nice hound.
Well, when you got something good, you like to share it with people. That's the way I always felt. And I wish we didn't have envy and jealousy and all that stuff in our dogs, but it's there and it'll always be there. And some guys just have a hard time believing that there might be something out there that could help them. And I know they've got good dogs and dogs that they like all of that. But, man, I'm encouraged when I look at the pedigrees on some of these females that are coming into Fever, and I see those good dogs, and I say, I always thought that must be a pretty good dog, but now I can see in the pups that's a good line of dogs, So I just wish people would be a little more open-minded. And it is, people laugh at me. It's not about the money. You don't make any money breeding dogs unless you're Kurt Ehring and have a track man or something like that.
You're breeding.
Yeah.
15, 16 a month. You ain't making no money.
Well, that's true. You're really not, because it's an expensive deal. And there's a lot of aggravation to it, too, with people not being understanding of your personal life and privacy and all of that. But at any rate, we're not going to cry about that. We like what we got, and we're willing to share if you just contact us. But anyway, I'm going to sign off for now. This is Steve Fielder with the scratchy voice. And my good buddy, partner, co-partner in crime, Mark Miller, saying, if you're looking for us, the best place to find us is on the mountain. We've gone to the dogs.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway, wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks, or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.